I'm always surprised in the church that we don't make more of Pentecost. We make such a big thing of Easter, and that's great, it's good, but we don't really say an awful lot about Pentecost, and we don't make such a big thing of it. But, of course, it's the birthday of the church. It's when the church began, and so I think there's reason for us to celebrate. Of course, there's reason for us to celebrate every day, isn't there? But Pentecost is a really important occasion. And I think in other parts of the world, they do make more of Pentecost. It's a big thing in the Eastern Orthodox Church, for example, but less so in the West for some reason. Well, on that first day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, the Apostle Peter suddenly finds his voice. He's no longer this quivering little shell of a man. He's become emboldened by the power of the Holy Spirit having filled him. He's able to preach and explain to the crowds that what they were witnessing was what the prophet of old had prophesied. Joel had said that in the last days, so we're in the last days, they were in the last days 2,000 years ago, in the last days, the Lord would pour out his Spirit on all people, men and women alike. And though all people are different, all people will share the one Spirit, is the message of Pentecost. Even with all the diversity within humanity, it's amazing that although we have twins and triplets, there's no two exactly the same, is there? You can tell them apart. There's so much diversity in humanity. All human beings are different. There's never been two exactly the same. But even with all that diversity in creation, there will come about a unity because of the Spirit's work. We can see that unity when we read towards the end of chapter 2 in Acts. Those last six verses show us that the early believers, filled with the Spirit, formed a united community under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And it tells us about that they shared all things in common. So they didn't consider things to be their own personal possession. They shared all things in common. They shared their belongings. They shared their meals together. They shared their property. It says they shared everything they had. No one was in need in that community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship together, and to prayer together. We might say that they shared together and they spoke together in a language of love, a language which made room for all and could be understood by all. Because we see that community growing day by day. The Holy Spirit is on the community and within the community to bring growth. There were numbers being added all the time. So though there's lots of diversity, and yet there's lots of unity in terms of sharing, we can see that it's God's idea to grow beyond the current community. So the language of Pentecost is the language of love, because the language of Christ is love. The language of the church must therefore be love. Love is the universal language of all. Well, so Richard Rohr says in this quote, he says, love, the attraction of all things towards all things. That's what love is, the attraction of all things towards all things, is a universal language, and we all know love when we see it. We all know love when we see it. I remember being very moved years ago when reading something that Rick and Kay Warren had written about their son Matthew. Rick Warren, purpose-driven church, purpose-driven life, Saddleback Church in America. Their son tragically took his life at a young age. And at Matthew's funeral, his parents said this about him. He said to the people gathered, "You who watched Matthew grow up knew he was an incredibly kind, gentle, and compassionate man. He had a brilliant intellect and a gift for sensing who was most in pain or most uncomfortable in a room. He'd then make a beeline to that person to engage and encourage them." That is the language of love in action. That's the attraction of one thing towards another, one part of creation towards another. That's the work of the divine spirit in creation, moving beyond itself, making connections, bringing unity in diversity, like all the different colors that make up the one rainbow. Now, Jesus of Nazareth was the most complete spirit-filled, anointed presence of God in human form. God was present in Jesus as the Christ, the Spirit's presence and the foretaste of what all of creation would become. Jesus communicated with the language of love, and he existed as the flesh and blood presence of God so that his disciples could learn to love him and be loved by him in a real human way and discover this mutual attraction of all things towards all things. In the same way, we learn to love God by loving Jesus. We learn to love God by loving those around us who are sent to love us. And hopefully we were brought up by parents who loved us. And we learned to love God through their human expression of that love. But we don't stop there. Through loving Jesus and loving others, we discover Christ as the anointing presence of God everywhere. We mature into seeing Christ as the anointing presence of God in all of creation, in all of life, in every person, and in every creature even in cats and dogs and animals, and in all living things that exists this force of love, the energy behind it all, working in a way to bring unity with diversity. I think we find this difficult because it seems to be human nature to erect barriers or to keep distances. The Holy Spirit, though, as God's presence within people, is given freely by God so that barriers can be broken down and fresh connections of love can be made between things. In order to deal with barriers, people of faith need to be prepared to heed the Spirit's call to cross cultures and to move into unfamiliar circles, to go beyond barriers. This shouldn't be hard work because it's the natural attracting energy force of the Spirit. Just as was at work in Matthew Warren, sensing those in pain or discomfort and being drawn to them, crossing over the room to make connections. Theologian Christina Cleveland said this: people can meet God within their cultural context, but in order to follow God, they must cross into other cultures, because that's what Jesus did in the incarnation and on the cross. She argues, and I think I agree, that the church needs to grow beyond itself by being prepared to be cross-cultural. As an aside, we might think of it as putting the cross at the center of a culture, to be cross-cultural. But being prepared to cross boundaries. Because I think the church grows when it rubs shoulders with people who are not like us. If Christians only surround themselves with other Christians who believe the same as they do, then I don't think much growth happens. If we look at Jesus' life, we see him willing to cross borders and meet with others, people of other gender, other ability, other generation, other races, even those of other religious persuasions. In Genesis chapter 11, we find in that story of the Tower of Babel, Noah's descendants wanting to confine themselves to the one city. They've learned how to make bricks, and they're going to make something amazing. But they don't want to expand beyond what they've realized they are able to do. They wanted to make themselves famous, it says in Genesis, and to save them from being scattered all over the world. What a strange thing that is, that they decide to build this tower so that it will stop them being scattered across the world. But the Lord decides to introduce different languages languages in order to do that very thing, to scatter them all over the world. So it seems that God loves the spreading and the diversity, yet also works to bring a unity in the spirit of Pentecost, which is sometimes described as a reversal of the Tower of Babel. But maybe it's better seen as a complement to it. If you look back at chapter 9 in Genesis, it says this, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the whole earth.'" It was God's idea for the sons of Noah to spread out their wings and go to the whole earth. Fruitfulness is intended over the whole earth. And also in chapter 9, verse 16, "Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind over all the earth." Many colors in one rainbow is an illustration of the diversity of color in the one unity of purpose. But all over the earth seems to be something that God wishes and desires. And at Pentecost, this unity came because people from all over the world heard in their own languages about the wonderful things that God had done. The barrier of language was overcome by the Spirit, enabling understanding, bringing unity in diversity, and encouraging inclusiveness. Part of inclusiveness of language for all, and what Pentecost means in practice, is our willingness, I think, to stand alongside those who are different and to break down walls which separate us from them. And words matter, and so it matters that we aim to choose words which seek to include rather than exclude. I don't think Christians have always done this very well. We've spoken of our religion as the only truth in a way that has alienated others. We've spoken of God as male only and used exclusive male pronouns, he, him, and his. We've described a God who is for some and against others. Not only must we learn to speak in an inclusive language of love, we must also, perhaps more importantly, learn to listen in an inclusive language of love. I had occasion this last week to speak to someone about inclusion. They raised the subject. Someone who is concerned that the church isn't being inclusive. It made me want to reach out to that person and others with them in what I know to be that attraction that Richard Rohr spoke about, that attraction of one thing, me as one thing, towards them as another thing. Now that person would describe themselves as being LGBT, representing many other people who feel judged and condemned and have done so by the church for a long time. Now, this is a difficult issue, but I want to show you the General Assembly. We are part of a church that 2 years ago agreed to issue an apology to people who are LGBT. Now, clearly that apology, whether we agree with it or not, clearly that apology hasn't filtered down to a local level. It's not been worked out in practice on the ground, so much so that people still feel excluded. And I think it's an issue we need to address in order to be seen to be inclusive. I think it's an invisible barrier that the Spirit wants taken down. Now, I realize this is an issue that we will not all necessarily agree on. But what we can agree is to agree to speak and listen in a language of love and to look for the divine presence within all of us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, includes everyone and excludes no one. The Spirit of Christ is the light by which we can see all things. And love is the center of all things, the goal of all things, and the energy which holds all things. Anything that works against that is the Antichrist. On that first day of Pentecost, Peter addressed the crowds, telling them that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, the divine presence of Christ is only a breath away from everyone. It's only a call away. And pointed to the Spirit's coming at Pentecost, Jesus described the presence of God to his disciples as the presence who lives with you now in the person of Jesus and later will be in you at Pentecost. The Spirit lives in us to assure us of God's love, to guide us in all truth, to correct us, to point us to God in Christ, to equip us with gifts, and to cause us to bear fruit, and to teach us everything in the language of love, the attraction of all things to all things, bringing the all diversity of things together in unity. So may we continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit and follow where the Spirit leads. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you guide us, you correct us, you rebuke us, you shape us, you encourage us, you break us, and you put us back together. May we give ourselves, our whole minds, bodies, hearts, and all our strength to the work of the Spirit, that you would be our guide in all truth as we seek to see your kingdom come and your will be done in this place of Kirknewton and East Calder and beyond. And we thank you that you've chosen us to be one with you and with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.